Morning, everybody.
Morning.
You probably all know we had a mishap with the electrics this morning, and the fuse went, but so we had the prospect of no sound, which you may have thought was quite a good thing, actually. Thank you, Derek. But we're fixed, so that's why we're a little bit late, so apologies for that. So welcome to our service of Holy Communion. This is Sunday, the third of Epiphany. Just take a moment of quiet to ready ourselves for worship. Let's start our worship by singing. We'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn number 830, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
I'm
this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Sit or kneel for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault.
We are truly sorry,
and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who you truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Collect for the third Sunday of Epiphany. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to sit, Jean and Marie will read to us from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, beginning to read verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there will be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Christ divided, crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you'd like to stand, we'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn number 54, Brother, Let Me Be Your Servant. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
This is the fourth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and we begin at verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So Lord, would you prepare our hearts not to receive my thoughts, but to hear your voice. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please do sit down. So, two of the readings today, one from Paul's letter to the Corinthians and the other from the Gospel written by Matthew, which speak with uncanny relevance to where we find our churches in today's world. The question of unity, or should that be disunity, on the one hand, those items, and then on the other, discipleship. So Corinth, in the first century, it was a busy, loud, an exciting place. It'd been a thriving trading centre for a couple of centuries at least, and that had attracted people of many religions and races. So to be a Corinthian was to have grown up in a diverse, competitive, multicultural society, all of which made life for those first Christian missionaries a challenge, to say the very least. We know that whilst enduring a number of ups and downs, Paul's own missionary activity in Corinth was, you would say, pretty successful. We also know that Paul stayed there for 18 months, which is quite a long time in his overall career as a missionary. This seems to suggest that Paul saw lots of potential for the gospel there. But Paul wasn't the only one to see potential in Corinth. There were other missionaries who preached there, among them Apollos and Cephas. And it's hard to tell now whether there was a spirit of rivalry among the various missionary preachers, or whether it was just the Greek tradition for argument. Either way, the outcome was certainly a divided and contentious church. Paul, ever up for the fight, is clear that the gospel is not just being undermined, but is actually being fundamentally misunderstood because the Christian community is divided. The Corinthian Christians are being fiercely loyal to whichever one of the missionaries it was that brought the gospel to their particular group, and, in the process, are losing sight of what the gospel is really all about. Whose death was it that brought you salvation? Paul wants to know. In whose name do you accept the baptism that leads to new life? Is this about your teacher? Or is it about your God? Paul's well aware that the gospel of Christ is rubbing against the grain, not just for the Corinthians, but maybe also for us today. As the Corinthian church back then and we today argue about who has the best version of the gospel, they are turning their backs on a crucified God. After all, what has the cross got to do with the determination to be proved right? We all need to remember that the cross is God's answer and the ultimate demonstration of God's power. The power to accept, create, recreate, and save is so stunningly different to anything we might understand as power that it is barely recognisable. And over the years, we Christians have been as guilty as anyone of wanting to be clever, successful, and right. But if we keep preaching Christ crucified, maybe one day we might even convert ourselves. So much then for unity or disunity. What about discipleship? This is something that just now has been very much on our minds here at Holy Trinity in St. Margaret's, as we've been examining where we are currently and where we would like to be as part of the reflection process brought about by our current interregnum. So I was wondering, when Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, what was it about him that those fishermen saw? As far as we can tell, Jesus was quite alone. None of those fishermen knew any of the stories about his birth. They had no idea he'd been worshipped by the so-called wise men. And again, so far as we know, they weren't there when the heavens opened for the Holy Spirit to descend like a dove and for God to proclaim his satisfaction with his son at his baptism by the River Jordan. They had no inkling of what Jesus went through during his spell of 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Of course, today, we have discovered all of those things by simply reading the chapters which preceded our gospel passage this morning. Matthew had set it all out for us. But no, Peter, Andrew, James and John came to it all completely new, without any of these hints to guide them. And yet, they drop everything to follow Jesus. There are no obvious inducements. There's no mention of fame, fortune, success, or excitement. Instead, Jesus offers them a mission, a chance to attract others just as they themselves have been attracted. Jesus' message was really quite simple. Repent. Why? Because he said, "The kingdom of God has come near." That's the heart of the heart of the gospel. Turn around, see things differently, and watch the kingdom come. Something about the way that Jesus brought that message to life was so convincing that the two pairs of brothers couldn't resist it. In his account, Matthew uses the word immediately to give dramatic emphasis to the young men's actions, leaving their day jobs and setting off to see the world with Jesus. I can easily imagine, though, that they may actually have talked for a fair while, maybe over a meal and a drink, but the result was the same. They upped and went. What does it take for us to leave our comfortable pews? When I say comfortable, I do mean comfortable, relatively speaking. What does it take for us to leave our comfortable pews and set out with Jesus on a real adventure? Adventures of faith can be of the spirit as well as the body, but getting us aroused into whole life, risk-taking discipleship is one of God's greatest challenges. Raising the dead is a walk in the park by comparison. Those four young men were happy on their beach, but Jesus wanted to give them more by asking more of them. I don't know what it is that God is calling each one of us to do. But I do know that God calls all the time. If we will listen and trust that it is God we hear, amazing discipleship opportunities will open up for us. And like Peter, Andrew, James, and John, if we're faithful enough to hear and respond, our lives will never be the same again. It is scary, but it is so worth it. Amen. As we sit, Roger will lead us in our intercessions.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of your holy presence in our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers. First, the prayer for our interregnum, which I shall say now that we are moving forward with the exciting invitations to potential candidates. Gracious God, you are with us always. We thank you for guiding us by your Holy Spirit through our life together as a church. We pray that we may hear your voice during this time of interregnum. Grant us patience, grant us vision, and grant us courage as we seek a new priest for our two churches. And by your grace, lead us to be a more Christ-like church, a church which is thoughtful, compassionate, and courageous. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for discipleship. Help us to be led by Jesus and, like the early disciples, follow Christ in his light and not in the darkness, just as our scripture readings this morning. Help us to be active Christians in our own communities and always to do the right thing by Jesus. Help us to bring Christian meaning and purpose to the lives of those who have lost their way. Help us to be kind to one another and to encourage newcomers to discover Jesus in their lives and in our church at St. Margaret's. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for leaders, especially our own. God of peace, we pray for our world leaders at this dangerous time, that they will use their power for good and not for evil, and collaborate in finding solutions to war, poverty, disease, and climate extremes. Help us with peace and reconciliation in our world, and for love to overcome mistrust and conflict. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now we pray for others known to us. We pray for those who are unwell or in recovery. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are suffering from anxiety, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your love is always with them. Make us thoughtful with our responses to their difficulties, especially during the ongoing hardships of the economy and winter. We pray for those listed on our notice sheet, David and Pam Ellingham, and for David's continuing recovery. Jean Stables for the support of friends. John and Angela Watts, and for Roger Strachan, Angela's brother. Paul and Jean Rickett's daughter-in-law, Amanda, following her operation. Caden Edwards, now undergoing chemotherapy, and for his parents, Catherine and Simon. We also pray for our ministry team during this time of interregnum. In a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known personally to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, a prayer of thanks. Dear God, we thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in your beautiful creation. Inspire us to share our many blessings with others so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? We affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as we say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As we stand, we'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn number 1120, Will You Come and Follow Me?
Thank you.
our service on page 5 of your service sheets. First, a prayer. Father God, as we approach this communion table to share in bread and wine, let something special happen to us. Something more than interesting or entertaining or thoughtful. Father God, let something special happen to us. Something awesome, something real. Speak to where we are, Lord, and change us somewhere inside where it matters. Father God, let something special happen to us. Amen. Amen. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise.
I'd like to sit or kneel for our prayer. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. And we look for the coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven. We worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. And then on page 17, as our Saviour himself taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Top of page 18, we say together the prayer after communion. And we say, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free. On the whole earth, live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Right, you lot. who's going to tell us what you've all been doing?
Bread. I think Emma and Beth might want to talk about. Go for it. What, do you want to show the ladder, guys? Why don't you just keep coming to see? There you go. It's about as Jacob's ladder. We made some angels and we talked about how God is always with us.
Cool. Perfect. You can come next week and tell us. Yeah, you are allowed. Time now for our peace. So would you all please stand? Yeah.
So peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
And also with you. Well done.
Share with one another a sign of that peace. Well done. Peace be with you. So as we're standing, we'll sing our final hymn, which is hymn number 1583. We have a gospel to proclaim. So we go to our homes with this blessing. Go out into the world in peace. Love your God with all your heart. Be challenged by the Spirit's promptings. Hear the call to serve Christ and be obedient to God's will. And may God bless you. May the Spirit restore you. And may Christ's presence strengthen you this day and always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the